Revolution Radio, Revolution Radio, what is going on? And this is the Smoking Man Podcast. Welcome everyone, and I have an announcement. Because of the difficulty of trying to get this podcast to more listeners and a wider range of people, because you can always share the link. But, you know what I'm saying, it always comes at a price of, you know what I'm saying, of being able to download the app and, you know what I'm saying, set up all kinds of things, listen to podcasts, and then have to find my podcast. I think I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to move my platform to another podcasting station. I actually found one that allows you to upload to iTunes as well as Spotify. And other places you can just go to listen to it, you know what I'm saying, depending on the device you're listening to, depending on, you know what I'm saying, or where you're at, what time of day, you know what I'm saying. So I thought that'd be real dope. But on this episode, I'm going to sit down, man, I'm going to talk to y'all. And I guess, you know what I'm saying, really what's been on my mind is these Trump comments. You know, a lot of people probably say is that, you know, Trump is really, you know what I'm saying, someone you shouldn't really give too much time to, too much credit to. You know, he's just a flash in the pan politician, you know what I'm saying, or a wannabe star, failed businessman, you know, because only a businessman can't call himself successful if he has 3 bankruptcies and has to go to the Kremlin to get, you know what I'm saying, no funding. It's just the reality. But America being the feeble body country it is, we look at his skin complexion and the fact that he has rented a few buildings to put his name on top of, and we say, hey, that guy is successful. And I feel like we really do that because we respect the con out here, man. We don't respect real businessmen. The reason I say that is because I look at, you know what I'm saying, small businessmen, you know what I'm saying, in this country of all ethnic groups, you know what I'm saying, and you look at, you know what I'm saying, how successfully they can be on a, you know what I'm saying, of just trade and barter level. And we always frequent their businesses, but we always do it in either a disrespectful manner or a manner of, you know, I just came here to get what I want, nigga. I'm not studying the fact that you had to provide this and I had to put money in your pocket to do it, you know. So I just came to do what I came to do. But we all respect that guy that's always flashy, always shiny, always try to prove a point. But we never respect the real businessmen, the real ones that are trying to give you gain, the real ones that are trying to, you know what I'm saying, uplift and empower and financially, you know what I'm saying, provide for, you know what I'm saying, the real working class man, to feed them so he's able to feed his family. I feel like those are the guys we really should be looking at. We never do, but we always look at guys like Trump. But I'm bringing up Trump name because Trump recently at I believe it was the 2018 Navy officer commencement or graduation or whatever you want to call it, he had some statements about, you know what I'm saying, the United States of America, what it was built off of, you know, and the spirit of, you know what I'm saying, the colonizer. And he used terms that pretty much, I don't even think it's covert anymore, man. It's just pretty racist. He sits down and he talks about, you know what I'm saying, how the spirit of this country was built off the backs of, you know what I'm saying, he said farmers in a tweet. But I believe on stage he really said the settlers, and, you know what I'm saying, how they conned the Native Americans into saying this is a peace treaty. In all actuality, it was a genocide, a caged genocide for human beings who when you first got here were about to die off because you didn't know how to farm the land. You didn't know how to create your own crops. You didn't know anything. And, you know, Native Americans just decided, hey, let's feed you, pale-faced people. But he praised that, you know what I'm saying, the con. He praised the trickery. He praised, you know what I'm saying, everything about, you know what I'm saying, the betrayal, the genocide that came along with it, the first trash part of slavery, and then, of course, the second part saying that America shouldn't apologize for it. Now, this ain't something nobody should be like, wow, that's amazing. I can't believe he said that. Oh, my God, wow. Like, that really, it does something, man. Like, it gets under my skin. The reason it gets under my skin, people say, wow, when someone like him says something like that, is like, you didn't realize this guy was a racist and a bigot back in the 80s when he was calling for, I think it was the Central Park Five. He was calling for those guys to, you know what I'm saying, get life and to kill them. You know what I'm saying, for them to be killed even after they found out that they were innocent and that the woman actually lied on them. He was still calling for their death. So, I mean, that to me, that speaks a big part in what America really is and who people like Donald Trump really are. Because we always seem to find a timid way to excuse the actions of someone like that. We always find a way to clean up what they said on some CNN network. It'll be some coon up there, you know what I'm saying, talking about how, you know, Donald really meant just the spirit of America and thriving and, you know, the whole capitalist society. And capitalism to me is, I know it's a lot of people in here that feel like capitalism is a beautiful thing. To me, I feel like it's the most sick thing on the face of the earth, because all capitalism is a bunch of spoiled people who were poor in one country and use, like I said earlier, con artistry, you know what I'm saying, on betrayal. And they made finances off the trust of the American people. And after making finance off the trust of the American people, continue to find ways to make more money and to deviate everyone else from getting any kind of money. So when you have situations where people talk about generational wealth, people talk about generational finances, and you notice there's only one group of people that really have it, I mean, that's capitalism in a nutshell. I saw this, it was like a cartoon or something, man, this animated thing they did, pretty much showing the economical social race. And it was weird because you had these, you know what I'm saying, these African-American people, you had these white people, you know what I'm saying, as soon as, you know what I'm saying, the race takes off, the chains appear around the ankles of the African-American people, and the white people just running laps and laps and laps, and that's supposed to not really insinuate, but really, you know what I'm saying, it'll show you the period of slavery and the time of slavery, then it shows you Reconstruction, but then Reconstruction comes up, there's a block that comes up, and the block that comes up pretty much says white only, you know what I'm saying, pretty much talking about the education system, how there were laws set up in place where African Americans couldn't own businesses, and if they had any kind of wealth, that a white overseer had to be over that those finances. There's a great story about that too, man. I can't think of the young lady's name, but it was a young sister who was became a millionaire very early off of, I believe it was hair care products. And it was during the late 1800s this happened. And when the sister ended up getting the money, you know, that law took into effect, and her family never saw that generational wealth because the Caucasian man had to be over that finance. He misused and appropriated the finances and pretty much made it his. He screwed over the money, so nobody got to see the money at all. So it's a portion of generational wealth that is we never got to see, even though we did have businessmen and we did have, you know what I'm saying, black men and women who worked hard from skill point of views, from business point of views, from scientific and medical point of views. But, you know what I'm saying, that wealth was not shown because it was not allowed for them to have that wealth and to pass it on to their, you know what I'm saying, their children. I mean, we know these histories, man. We know this. So with someone like Trump saying something like that, you got to sit down and you got to ask yourself. In all actuality, though, man, what does this mean? Why would this man say this around this critical time? There's so many different things that have been coming out, that has been going on. Situations with the sisters, you know what I'm saying, though, in the Waffle House, the brother getting pinned down from the Waffle House, the situation with Starbucks, all of these businesses that we frequent as African-American men and women. Then you have people like so-called comedian Jess Hilarious, who opens her, you know what I'm saying, a big mouth and has the nerve to say things like we need to talk about integrational money instead of talking about black dollars, because black dollars aren't this and black dollars aren't that. And I was thinking to myself, okay, she just got on this new show, you know what I'm saying, with what is that guy's name? I know it's Sinbad and it's I think it's Lil Rel, you know what I'm saying, other comedian, man. It seems like it's gonna be a funny show. I'm not gonna knock the show, you know what I'm saying, though. But she just recently got on this show, and I've seen clips of her on it, man, and it's just like, okay, you know, there's nothing really to, you know what I'm saying, or jump up out your seat about. Seems like she's playing the basic, you know what I'm saying, black, ignorant, loud woman, you know, what Hollywood loves for you to portray, because it's very hard for them to portray the non-promiscuous, uneducated, you know what I'm saying, humble, kind, sweet. They don't want none of that, even though there are sisters in this world who are like that, but they just don't portray that in Hollywood. And you always find one coon who's so ready to be a star that they just jump on any show and portray that kind of person, you know what I'm saying, though. So I mean, you know, I'm probably gonna get a lot of flack about this, but I mean, hey, it's the facts, man. I mean, you look at all your TV shows, Insecure, you know what I'm saying, though, that's a big, huge show, and even in the name, they're disrespecting the black woman from the show. You know what I'm saying, though? They're pretty much showing you that she's insecure about everything. Insecure about her sexuality, insecure about loyalty, insecure about, you know what I'm saying, raising a family and moving forward, insecure about the fact that she's a certain age and hasn't really accomplished too much in her life. You know what I'm saying? That's what the show premise is really about. The sister couldn't be well put together and doing big things and showing her struggle, you know what I'm saying, of doing, you know what I'm saying, fighting for social justice, or, you know what I'm saying, or being a better educator, things like that. It just shows her whoring around. And then the concept comes up of men and women, you know what I'm saying, how we view each other in a sexist world. And then people come up with other bullshit out of this, you know what I'm saying, that this is a rape culture. I mean, it's all dumb shit, to be honest with you. It just is. You know what I'm saying? It's a new age propaganda, new age slavery, new age mind control. And you know what I'm saying? Even though it's new age, the same old tricks. But because we live in a society where people believe so much in their government, people believe so much in the places that educate them, people believe so much in the places that they frequent financially, that they'll never look at those places as bad things, bad places, something that doesn't stand up or represent them. So this is why you have people like Jess Hilarious saying things like, we need to integrate our money, or we need to have talk about integrational money as opposed to talking about building up the black dollar, because the black dollar is, you know what I'm saying, what it is. And like I was saying earlier about that show, I see a mostly black cast, and we all know Caucasians do not watch shows that have mostly African-American cast. I don't think that's a racist thing. I just feel like they watch shows that really show either a well-rounded or a primarily Caucasian, because you want to see you. You know what I'm saying? If you look at the show Jane the Virgin, you know what I'm saying, it's a heavy Latino crowd, a Latina crowd that watches that. You know what I'm saying? And you got to understand that it does play a part when you have a cast that is of one color and one complexion, and the people that support it will be the people that usually come from that cast. So when she says that about the black dollar, the first thing I think about is the black dollar is going to fund that show if it's to be successful. If it's not to be successful, it's because the black dollar looked at that show and looked at you on it and said, we straight. You know what I'm saying? We can find something else to spend our money on. We can find something else to do. And that's the reality of that, man. To all those going through Ramadan, by the way, I know just this is out of left field, man. I just want to say Ramadan Mubarak. You know what I'm saying? Oh, peace to all you brothers struggling and striving in the way of your creator. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I'm going through Ramadan myself, and it's you know what I'm saying? Oh, it's a beautiful struggle. I will say that. But I want to just give a big shout out to all my Muslim brothers and sisters everywhere. And I love y'all and keep striving in the way of your creator. Now, back to the conversation. Trump in these comments, more and more African-Americans cooning. You know what I'm saying, though? People get upset when I use that word because they say it's the first racial slur, one of the first, you know what I'm saying, racial inclinations of, first inclination really of a racial slur, racial conversation, saying that. But I feel like it's to the point now where it's very, very correct in using that term with certain people, though, man, you know. Just like I spoke of with the whole Hollywood game of being a tap dancer, you know what I'm saying, or being the whore or being the scared black Negro in every film, you know what I'm saying. I don't have to say any names. You guys watch movies. You know how they do African-American males. Either you're extremely sensitive or you're overly masculine. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you talk with a slang that's extremely hard to understand. You know what I'm saying? That's how Hollywood portrays you and puts you in that boat and that spectrum. It's very hard for them to ever sit down and put together a film that really speaks to African-American men and women culturally. And even so much, though, man, like I'm really starting to see more and more things about, you know what I'm saying, Al-Islam that's really starting to, you know what I'm saying, I don't want to say scare me, but really put some concern on my heart. Like this film Bilal that, you know what I'm saying, I can't really tell you when it came out. I know there's a date on it that says 2015, but there's also a date on it that says 2018. You know, a new hero. And I was noticing, you know what I'm saying, some very different things about that film. And I know what they do in our community, you know what I'm saying, to get us not to follow something. And the first thing they do is, you know what I'm saying, they make it something that is outcasted. They make it something that if you do follow it or you do step inside of it or you do try to learn about it just a little bit, you end up finding yourself in a outcast role. And us as African Americans, we fall into that trap when we were actually the first people to really bring Al-Islam to the Americas. You know what I'm saying? If there wasn't for people like Malcolm X, we wouldn't have Al-Islam, not the Nation of Islam. You know what I'm saying? That's a totally different spectrum of way of looking at things. You know what I'm saying? What Farrakhan does, you know what I'm saying? Or what Elijah Muhammad did of pretty much purveying the black man as God. That's really a stretch. Actually, it's an extreme stretch. You know what I'm saying? Because how can you purvey, you know what I'm saying, someone of color and someone because they have melanin in their skin to be someone that is God when they've always had this titan's foot on their neck? You know what I'm saying? They've always, you know what I'm saying, been pressured into a terrible situation. At least we're talking about recent history. We're not talking about the entire history because we all know that, you know what I'm saying, about all the African kings and queens and such and so forth and so forth. You know what I'm saying? That's a part of our history. And with that being a part of our history, I go back to what I was speaking about with Trump's conversation. It seems today that we just want to pick and choose what part of history we want to claim. And we actually want to look at it from the perspective of our egos and from the perspective of our tribe that we hold so dear. We never want to look at it in a reality sense. We never want to look at it in a sense of, you know what I'm saying, oh, this did happen. Was this right or this wrong in history? Even though it came from my people. And should I feel some type of way about it? looking at one race or another. You know what I'm saying? That's something that should be heavily discussed. And unfortunately, in our day and age, we don't discuss things. We just take the side of whatever color we feel like was right or wrong. You know what I'm saying? If you look at, you know what I'm saying, the stolen Africans that live here in America, and you look at everyone else who has a strong history that dates back to, you know what I'm saying, whatever European land they came from, whatever South American land they came from. And then you look at us, whose history is very limited and very short, and we don't know the rest of it going back to Africa. We find ourselves very confused and very twisted about that. So it's like we almost don't have a history. And the history we do have is of a poor people that are always subjugated to injustice, always subjugated to failure, always subjugated to we had this, but it was taken away. Always subjugated to we created this, but someone else took it and remolded it for themselves and for their people. Even when you talk about rock and roll, whether you talk about the jazz movement, whether you talk about, you know what I'm saying, soul music, which was turned into blue-eyed soul, even to the point where hip-hop now seems like it's going into the way of the dinosaur, because African-Americans are more content with a heavy beat with a repeated cadence, and you have Caucasians that are actually out here trying to become lyrical and trying to, you know what I'm saying, make complete songs and make complete hooks that you can, you know what I'm saying, that are memorable years down the line, as opposed to, you know what I'm saying, what's hot right now, what's trending right now. Because a lot of things that trend don't always stay, you know what I'm saying, hot, man. Like, even if you look at like the whole snap movement from like the early 2000s, like I lived through that, you know what I'm saying, and I look back at a lot of that stuff and I'm like, this was garbage. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to sit here and say that it was hot because I had memories of this when that song came out, or memories of that when this song came out. A lot of that stuff that came out then was hot garbage. I mean, that's just the reality of that. But we have to look at things, you know what I'm saying, introspectively. We got to. Because if we don't, we end up becoming the monsters we hate, which is pretty much what I'm starting to see in this day and age. The separation of tribalism. The separation of, you know what I'm saying, this is my thing with the whole new black movement. Because if, you know what I'm saying, you're someone who's on the outside looking in, because I don't know, like, what kind of listeners I have, what kind of, you know what I'm saying, people I have listening to this, you know, this is something I just do off the riff, man. But when you look at that whole culture and you think it's just a bunch of African Americans, some who are conscious, some who aren't, it's so much deeper than that. Because you got the black Jews walking around, you know what I'm saying? Then after the black Jews, you got the whole melanated brothers, you know what I'm saying, who are Nubians. Some form of, I guess, Islam. They think they're Islam or something. I don't know. You know what I'm saying, man? Then you have, you know what I'm saying, the brothers who believe the black woman is God. I don't even know what you call these brothers, man. I mean, they're just there. You know what I'm saying? Oh, they come and they spit game and they tell you about how religion is the reason you're in chains and shackles. They talk to you about being atheist, which is pretty much what white people have been saying for years about atheism. You know what I'm saying? Or just, which is what I find weird about everyone who follows those, you know what I'm saying, those trends. Like, if you really sit down and say, you know, well, there's, you know what I'm saying, I'm atheist, you know what I'm saying, I don't believe in the whole spiritual realm and all of that stuff, or I believe in the African spiritual realm or whatever they call in worshiping the ancestors, you know what I'm saying? What if your ancestor was raped and murdered by a Caucasian? I mean, is there recompense for that, you know what I'm saying, a Caucasian in the next life? Is there no justice? Is there justice? You know what I'm saying? I mean, these are all questions that need to be asked once you decide to become something. the five percenters, man, the Nation of Islam, all of that stuff is wrapped up into the same, you know what I'm saying, a whole ball of, you know what I'm saying, a so-called New Age woke African. And it bothers me because you'll hear these brothers talk about unity, but in the same breath, you'll hear them slur other brothers and sisters who, you know what I'm saying, or might not think exactly the way they do. Like, there's so many, you know what I'm saying, old videos of, you know what I'm saying, you can go on YouTube and look this up, man. Dr. Umar and Sucker Seti and, you know what I'm saying, old Brother Police, you know what I'm saying, Brother Police, whatever you want to call him. You know what I'm saying? Oh, him. You know what I'm saying? Oh, bashing. You know what I'm saying? Oh, the brother that taught in the game. And talking bad about, you know what I'm saying, the Moors. And I mean, you know what I'm saying? The five percenters, you know what I'm saying, a whole nother level in different aspects of the way they look things. It's just weird, man. It's all weird to me. It's all weird to me, man. That's why I truly do my best to try to hold on to my dean, because whether you know what I'm saying, agree, disagree, you know what I'm saying, with everything about Islam, whatever, however you feel. But the fact of the matter is that it's a religion that calls everyone together, no matter who you are, no matter what color you are, no matter how your people were enslaved, no matter how your people weren't enslaved, no matter how your people did horrific things in the past, or your people were the victims of horrific things in the past. It calls you to the true humanity, and it also talks about the one thing that is left out when all of those sects, which is death. You know what I'm saying, though? I know people feel like, wow, that's really harsh. You're just throwing death out there like that. You know what I'm saying? That's pretty different. But it really speaks on those things, because it speaks on the things that we may consider justices and injustices in this world, that you got to understand this life is not the only life where justice or injustice may happen. You know what I'm saying, though? Excuse me. This life is not where justice ends. I think that's a better way to put it. You know what I'm saying? Because there's justice on the other side for anything and everything that you ever did. But it's at the same time, it's not saying just wait till the other side, like the whole Negro slavery type thing, where they just tell you, well, you're going to get your slice on the other side, while every other race gets their finances here and right now. That's not what Al-Islam teaches or preaches. You know what I'm saying? It says you cultivate in this dunya. You get what you can get out of this dunya, but don't forget death, the end of all pleasures. Don't forget, you know what I'm saying, your duty to man while you're here on this earth. And to me, that's the beauty of it. You know what I'm saying, though? Someone like a Donald Trump may seem like he might live and live and live and then die off, and after doing all these awful and horrid things to people, and using his money to hush people and quiet people and embarrass them, and, you know what I'm saying, use them up and spit them out. You know what I'm saying? He may get away with all that stuff in this life, but there's still justice on the other side, and that's the beauty of it. There's absolute 100% beauty of it. That's really, you know what I'm saying, the wall that it stands. But I really want to touch on that, man, because we get stressed out, man. Nerves get bad about the things that we feel like we need to fix ourselves. And trust me, I'm a victim of that myself. You know what I'm saying? And I think this whole Ramadan period, if you don't know what Ramadan consists of, it consists of fasting. It consists of prayer. It consists of, you know what I'm saying, reading the Quran, you know what I'm saying, the best of your ability. And it also consists of treating people right, watching your temper, you know what I'm saying, being peaceful, you know what I'm saying, even around a whole bunch of wild and violent things. Treating your fellow man with the best of intention. And when I say these things, man, I guess really what I'm getting at is, if you're someone of another color background, and you see the injustices that are happening all over this great planet, and you choose to ignore it, or you choose to just step aside, or you choose to just act like these things aren't happening, I'm here to tell you, man, there's justice on the other side for people that stand back and just watch. I feel like people that do that are the worst of creatures. I can't remember who said this, man, but it was crazy quote, dope quote. You know what I'm saying, though? That those men that stand by and watch evil do what they do are just as bad as the evil men and their actions. They're just as bad, man. Because it shows you care nothing about the people that have been done things to. And it shows that you're a selfish person instead of a selfless person. Like, if you're African-American and you're not being deported, but because you feel like, oh, this is my shot at getting a job, to me, that makes you the biggest coon in the face of the earth. If you're someone who doesn't practice religion, but you're seeing people murder people in churches and you don't feel no kind of sympathy and you don't want to help out in any kind of way, there's something seriously wrong with your soul. If you're watching people, you know what I'm saying, they'll try to bomb Islamic centers, you know what I'm saying, or loading up firearms to shoot people at Islamic centers, when that same center almost every other Friday is holding a janazah for someone who may financially cannot do it on their own, there's something wrong with you. Like, I just truly feel that in my soul and in my heart, there's something wrong with you if you look at the injustice of this life and it does not move you to your core. And the kicker of all of that is, if you're someone who does feel something, want to do something every time you see an injustice, we live in a world that will tell you you're fake caring. We live in a world that will tell you that you just hop on anything and everything that scrolls across your timeline or news feed. Man, I'm here to tell y'all, man, if y'all out here caring about all of this stuff, though, man, y'all out here sick and tired of the way the world is, though, man, get up and do something. Don't just fall back. There should be more people standing up against President Trump when he made those comments, because I'm pretty sure there was some sort of African American. I'm pretty sure there was some sort of Asian American, Latin American. You know what I'm saying? It could have possibly been a Native American in there. You know what I'm saying? Or that heard all of these things. But if you just graduated and just was all shocked because the guy from The Apprentice showed up at your little funky graduation, there's something sick and twisted in your soul. A check does not make you them. Just because they say you're a part of their little fraternal order doesn't make you them. Every time I think about someone who consider themselves black, and I always talk about black people because I come from black folks. I am black. So I bring up my people first before I bring up anyone else. But if you're one of those people, you're part of some sort of fraternal order, you know what I'm saying, though, and you really like all into this whole, you know what I'm saying, though, BS of these are my brothers for life, these are my this and these are my that. And you're sitting around where they have a so-called locker room talk, and then the racist jokes start to fly. And you don't see how you not really in, even though you in, there's a problem with you. I feel like that's a sick and twisted mind that can sit through something like that and not really hurt in its soul. That's just my opinion to take on it. Like the whole thing with Deontay Wilder this week. I don't know if you guys caught that. Deontay Wilder went up to the White House for the pardon of Jack Johnson, official pardon. You know, Trump did something else to bring his black constituencies back in. You know, says little, you know what I'm saying, a poll could rise up a little bit. So he pardons Jack Johnson. You know, Jack Johnson has been dead for like over 50 years. But now we pardoning the man for whatever he did. Like, he's actually going to do something. Maybe he can get a job now, you know, in the grave. But either way, Deontay Wilder went up to that. And Deontay Wilder got a lot of flack for it, which I personally feel like he should have. Because if you don't realize every move this guy makes is calculated to use African-Americans to get their vote, to show that he's actually someone who halfway cares about them. And then he makes comments like he did this past Friday, and you don't see that, there's something seriously wrong with you. Deontay Wilder's a heavyweight champion. You know what I'm saying? He spoke up a lot about, you know what I'm saying, black activism. He stood with, you know what I'm saying, he's rallied with a lot of people in a lot of different situations that have been against African Americans. But he sat there in that office and he thanked that president for pardoning a man who's been dead for over 50 years. Like, this guy can now say, oh, I can just walk around now and free and get a job and not be murdered by police and not get tackled at a Waffle House at my prom. Or, you know what I'm saying, because I asked the question and someone wanted me to leave and I get stripped out of my clothes. That says a lot, man. Says a lot to the mentality of certain men. Like, I don't even understand how certain men walk around this country feeling like it's free and it's just and it's fair, knowing that you came here on slave ships, knowing that this land was snatched right out of the hands of people who had been here for God knows how long, after showing mercy on these people in long, harsh winters when they were about to die off being here, showing them how to cultivate the land, feeding them, showing them how to hunt on the land and to live freely. But to this day, man, to this day, we big those people up and we ignore their atrocities later on. I don't know, man, it's a lot. It's a lot to digest. It's a lot to digest, especially if you're someone who really cares and wants to know why injustice doesn't affect people just because a few dollars have been thrown your way. I call it the stripper effect, man. You ever been in a strip club and all those ones are being thrown on old homegirl? She thinking, hey, it's going to be a good night. Then you got some simp, some dude who wants to do it big, gets to throwing 20s and 50s at her while you throwing ones. And she feels like she done finally made it. I came up out of this joint probably with 16 grand. You know what I'm saying? Oh, man, I done made it. I done came up. But after paying your rent, you know, because you got to pay rent at them strip clubs, believe it or not. After taking care, you know what I'm saying, oh, your little rent at the house, probably paying for your car, taking care of daycare, for your baby, all of that good stuff. Pretty much back down to basic stuff. And that's pretty much what it is, though, man. We live in a society where we have men and women who get them coins, man. They get a few dollars. And after getting a few dollars, they go ahead and they decide, well, hey, I made it. I done came up. I don't have to live on that side of town anymore. I can live over here where the white folks live at. I can live over here where my neighbors don't look like me. And now that my neighbors don't like me, I don't have to worry about nobody breaking in my house or bothering me. But you do have to worry about the police getting called on you for trying to barbecue. You do have to worry about, you know what I'm saying, the police getting called on you for, I don't know, just trying to rent a nice Airbnb to a nice area. Or just trying to live there and people saying, hey, did you try to just break in your own house? You know, like that professor that was living in that nice neighborhood, you know what I'm saying, that cop harassed him. you know, back when Obama was in office. Anybody remember that? I remember that. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I really got to look at injustice in a very, very different manner than what we do. But yo, man, I'm Malik Salam. Like I was saying earlier in the show, next podcast will be on a different platform. I will keep y'all advised, and I will also start sharing on different media, social media platforms, so you guys can check me out. Also, my brother should be in LA at the study, I want to say on the 22nd. You know what I'm saying? Big show coming, you know what I'm saying, for the city. This is part one. You guys really, really got to check that out. Once again, it's Re-Evolution Radio. This has been the Smoking Man Podcast. I'm Malik Salam. Tune in and drop out. Peace.